Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome to Sports Day. Great to have your company. Our number is 922-11882 for Sleepmaker, the maker of Australia's mattress. Good evening to you, Paul Hasby. How are you?
Yeah, going well, Carl. Big show coming up. Daniel Rich will join us from the Brisbane Lions. Trevor Gleeson ahead of another grand final, going for three in a row. And at this stage, they'll be taking on the South East Melbourne Phoenix, leading by 12 in this game. Hockey Roo star Penny Squibb will join us a bit later. And Ben Damon to preview Paul Gallen and Justice Hooney tomorrow night.
Well, there's a long way to go, but 5:42 left in the first half, and it's 36-22 right now, and South East Melbourne have been shooting the lights out so far tonight in the opportunity for the grand final to take on the Perth Wildcats. And one thing, as we get into some of our news headlines for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand, after the Wildcats won their way through to the grand final, the first two games have been confirmed right here in Perth, Western Australia. Game one at 6:30pm on Friday, game two at 3pm on Sunday. You can get along and buy your tickets to that, and certainly make it a full house compared to what we're watching right now. Hayes, predominantly an empty stadium, sadly.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it, for the Perth Wildcats to have the first two games here, and gee, they deserve it too. They played well last night. There's a few things not in their favour, but if they get through this, and we're going to have Trevor Gleeson on a bit later, it'll be one of the greatest feats of sport and winning sport in this state and this country with what they've had to get through this year.
Socceroos in action against Jordan tonight as well. We'll keep you up to date with that. Bruno Fornaroli has signed with the Perth Glory for another 2 years. Jordan Degoe has been offered a one-week suspension on his clash with Clayton Oliver in that match played yesterday. The ICC Test Championship prize money has been confirmed overnight. $1.4 million to the winner. I want to have a chat to Hayes about that a little bit later on, because India have played a lot more games than New Zealand. New Zealand have played a lot less than Australia, and Australia are perched in third spot there right now. Paul Gallen, Justice Hooney's weigh-in was on today. Oh, gee, I love the fireworks when these blokes have a yap to each other. Harry McKay has signed at the Blues for another 2 years until the end of 2023. And the big news that's come through late this afternoon is that Darcy Moore could be out for the rest of the season, a reported PCL injury. But, Hayes, you get all that for Ranger confidence for the price of a quad. You visit your local Polaris dealer today. Now, let's jump into our dig. 922-11882 is the number if you'd like to have a dig tonight. I want to play you this audio, Hayes, of what Caroline Wilson has said on Footy Classified.
This is a highly sensitive issue, and it's obviously to do with St Kilda's problems. But St Kilda people will tell you, senior people, the guys like Seb Ross and Tim Membry solve problems for them all over the ground. And they would have against Adelaide on the weekend. I would almost say they would have beaten Adelaide. Instead, Seb Ross left to be with his wife. Now, Marnie gave birth to twins 5 or 6 weeks ago, so he missed that game, the game where the twins were born. And he wanted to be with his wife over this. He wasn't prepared to go to hang around in Sydney and go to Cairns for another week. This despite the fact several senior leaders at the football club asked him to stay. And he's a leader of the club, and they asked him to stay. He was emphatic. And I must stress, there is no medical problem with the twins. I know it's tough when you're home alone with twins, but there were other family people who maybe could have been with her, but he felt he had to be with her. Membry's wife was due to give birth.
They said they left with full support publicly.
Well, I would question that. I think there would be, and I think supporters and sponsors and members and other teammates would have every right to be a bit disappointed.
Okay, there you go. Let's get into the dig. Dial before you dig. The first essential step, who or what do you want to have a dig at? Paul Hasby.
Well, I'm having a dig at that, Carl, because she was out of line there, Caroline Wilson. She missed the mark. Family comes first for everybody, and I think it's a changing landscape that we're seeing now with the mental health space, but also around sport, Carl. And it raises a bigger question about how that landscape has changed. I just want to go through a few things that we've seen in recent times. We've obviously had the McKay hit of going for the ball, and the protection of the head with the AFL. We've seen that with Degoe in the suspension tonight. The NRL, they've cracked down on that. We've had talk about Mitch Lewis and Jacob Kaczynski boxing in a ring, urged by Clarkson to go harder, and he was concussed, Mitch Lewis. Now, Carl, I was concussed too. The only time I ever got concussed in footy was in the boxing ring. That Mark Harvey, after we played a game of footy, we got belted by Melbourne. He said, righto, boys, you're in there, gloves on, away you go, with an audience too. And you know what it's like when you get your mates around, and late in that round, I was not onto the floor, stars everywhere, and not much memory of what happened whilst I was in that ring. So that's another thing that is incurring, and I think we do have to change our perspective on that as well, and the AFLPA are coming down on that as well. We've recently seen allegations from swim coaches of fat shaming. Now, I can relate to fat shaming too, Carl, because when I played in my second season for Fremantle, I wasn't in the best of shape, and after the game, our then coach basically lined everybody up, and he got to me, and he said, "And Hayes, you're fat, you're lazy, and you're a big head, and you need to spend some more time in the fat club." And that's what it was like back then. We had skin folds, and I had to go to the fat club. And it was an element of fat shaming. But for me, that experience I could handle because it was direct feedback, and I needed it at that time, and I was able to turn my career around and get fit and do better when it came to diet and fitness requirements too. We've seen the taunting of players with the Adelaide camp last year. So it has changed, hasn't it, the whole landscape. But where is the line? When is it too far? And I think last night with Caroline Wilson's comments, they were too far, but we all need to adjust to this new world and the landscape that we're seeing because mental health has become a big issue.
Well, we're testing our new phone system tonight, so we'd love you to call through on 922 118 882 just to make sure that it works. If you haven't joined our program before, if you have, then you'll know that number off by heart. You can text us 0487 999 882, 0487 999 882, if you'd like to talk to us tonight with your fingers, and we'll roll that in as well. Look, for me, Hayes, I recall a story that Brad Hardy relayed to me many years ago of his time up at the Brisbane Bears, as it was back in his day. It was Robert Walls as the senior coach, and he essentially lost his coaching role and lost the players on the back of Shane Strempel, who he ordered basically one player after another to get in and box the same bloke.
I can't believe that.
No, but as I said, Brad is the bloke which, if we ring him up right now, and I'm sure there'd be a lot of people that maybe even recall Brad telling us that story because he's told it here on 6PR before. I recall Michael Walters being sent back to Swan Districts when he was told that he was too fat because, and look, we've seen it, I think, anyway, in the early stages of AFLW as well, where a lot of the girls were told that they're too fat. Go and sort yourselves out. They get the calipers on you, and if you don't pass the test, mate, you've got to go and work your backside off to get yourself down to what is called an acceptable level at these professional sporting clubs. Now, I suppose you've got to understand that if I call you fat, the bloke next to you might not accept it in the same way. I mean, he might be affected by it. It's a little bit like when you call someone a name. You know, the next redheaded person that sits next to me might not be able to cope with the name calling that has come the way of redheads, who are a minority group. As it goes for sexual, racial, and religious vilification, do we need to extend it to fat shaming? And when it comes to the head knocks, there is no doubt in my mind, given what is transcending not only Australian rules and the NRL, which you described beautifully off the top, that we are going to see it involved in other sports. And like what we've seen in the NFL, I mean, imagine the day that someone comes out in a combat sport and actually has a crack at the organisations that put them in there, that maybe they didn't take enough care when they were vulnerable. And do we need to go to the point where you actually do knock someone unconscious, or get to that point where, you know, you jump over the top for those last couple of hits? I mean, I'm watching UFC all the time and I'm thinking, wow, maybe they should have stopped that fight a bit earlier. People might disagree with me, but 922-118-882 is the number tonight. Please join in.
Yeah, it's a good conversation to have. And no doubt when I got that feedback, it did help me. And also the boxing too, Carl. I think done under supervision, there's a place for that too, and it has a lot of benefits with confidence. And that's what Harves was trying to get us to do, toughen up a little bit. But the AFLPA, they're not too happy with this situation. I think there'll be change coming up for the boxing that occurs between clubs. But it does raise that bigger question, doesn't it, about protecting the head and how far you go. It is a bad look if you've got players getting suspended for concussion incidents, and then when you have these boxing incidents occurring on the side, I don't think the AFL want that at all.
All right, let's see if the phones are working. Craig in Greenwood is going to join us first. G'day, Craig.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Great show. Look, just bear with me. I'm a long-suffering St Kilda supporter, and I've been following St Kilda since I was 7 years old back in 1966. I'm sick of it. Every time there's an issue, they wheel out this damn mental health thing, which means you can't question them and everything else. And I think they're using it as a con. I totally agree with Caroline Wilson in regards to those two players taking time off. as well as Paddy McCartan when he took time off and everything else. These guys are playing a sport which they're privileged to play, they're being paid good money to play it, and they're professional athletes. Now, if they can't do it, if they're not good enough for it, or if they'd rather put their family above the game and everything else, and taking into account there are certain situations like accidents and sickness and everything else, which obviously we're all understandable about. But anything else, honestly, if they don't want to play the game, let them go and dig ditches in the road. Because I'm totally over it.
Craig, hang on. People. Craig, just you can't bring the money debate into it. I mean, we've seen Magic Dore, for example, jump off a bridge, mate. You know, it's got nothing to do with your pay grade. And you know,
Naomi Osaka.
I mean, there's plenty of people that are forced into a scenario that not necessarily they can handle, and that includes professional sports people and whatever professional sport that might be. And everyone handles a different circumstance differently, and that applies across the sport. You can't just say, oh well, because they're a professional footballer and they're getting highly paid, that they don't deserve the rights of every other employee or employer out there in our community. That's just wrong.
No, not when we're paying our membership to the clubs to be able to win premierships and everything else. And Naomi Osaka, she didn't seem to mind the media when they were building her up, but once she's kind of up there, then all of a sudden, and there was no talk of mental health like a week before, you know, all this started carrying on and that. I'm just over it, as a lot of people using it as a crutch.
Thanks, Craig. It does raise some emotion for certain people, but I think with the example you gave with Paddy McCartan, he had concussion issues for a long time, and you only have to go and watch the story about Daniel Venables the other day, about the headaches and the struggle that he's been through. And yesterday we had the rugby player who couldn't go on with his career as well, Boyd Cordner, who had to retire. There's some real concerns around concussion, but this is mental health. But it might have been his wife. We don't know the full story. There might not be a sickness or illness to the kids, but his wife may have been going through some troubles, and the comments today by Carolyn could inflame that for her, which you don't want to see. And I think you get a choice to support your partner or your family. If it goes on for too long, then obviously there's a discussion to be had between club and player, but to do it once or twice, no issue with that whatsoever.
Yeah, I think that I think the openness, which I've only read since COVID struck last year with the Richmond Football Club and Trent Cotchin's wife, who went to a day spa.
Did it change your opinion on that a bit?
No, it changed my opinion on how it affected her. And then knowing the way that then transcends into the world of Trent and why he wants to be as a support network. And when his child ends up in hospital the other day, and knowing what had happened recently to his wife, and for her to be open and honest about it and to give an open and honest account of how it affected her, and the vitriol that was directed towards her online, which professional sports people and radio broadcasters like us get it every day. People might not like our opinions. That's fine. It's fine to have a different opinion. Craig, my opinion is different to yours. That's why we're here, and that's what we're good for. 9221882 is our number, and we'll get back to more of your opinions after this. It's 20 after 6.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Yeah, a couple of SMSs here that have been sent through 0487 999 882. Gee, we can't get stuck into the fat effers anymore. Either. Gee whiz. That was the first one. The second one
is... No, you can, but it can offend some people. I think that's what you've got to be prepared to have come back the other way if that's the case.
Yeah, well, that was the SMS. And that caller, Craig, is an absolute disgrace, is the next one that's just come through. 9221882 as we head to Jim in Secret Harbour. G'day, Jim.
How are you guys? Look, a couple of points. Just bear with me. I actually agree with the last guy for the SMS. That last guy was an absolute turd. Sorry. If Seb Ross wants to go home and spend time with his wife who's had twins, what a beautiful time for him to watch his twins, you know, in the first weeks of development. But back to what I want to talk about, toxic culture. We've had it with the Diamonds. We've had it with the gymnasts. Now we've got it with swimming. So I just hope that this is the end of the era, like with the old school people. Like I'm 58. Borry, and I know you're a bit younger. Hayes, you're close to that. You know, how are these guys getting appointed where they allow toxic culture to build where people are being bullied in their sports? These are elite programs within our system that are supported by taxpayer dollars. Like, how are these guys getting employed? That's my first question. My second thing is just a point. I'm going to say Basil Campbell. I'm going to say Sebastian Rioli and Scotty Cummings. Well, I don't think any one of them would ever have passed a skinfold test over their careers But geez, they're magnificent footballers. And the last thing I want to say is, which is a bit of a sad note, sportsmen that fail in their sport don't always deal with it well. And there was a young boy, when I only played a couple of seasons of 19s down at Perth, but this young boy, the name of Rhett Baines, he ended up getting drafted by Carlton and then let go. And the young fella, you know, unfortunately took his life. And the same with Chris Stasinowski. He was a West Perth Flyer, beautiful left foot kick, and came to Perth for a little while, and unfortunately he did the same. So, geez, you know, don't put pressure on these sports people. Failure to them, when you guys know, you've made it to the AFL system, and to get on the list is so important. And failure, you know, it's hard to deal with.
Well, Jim, it's not even... I don't think it's even failure, though. This is the point I'm making. There are people that are at the top of their craft. And, you know, I've seen it with a couple of colleagues that I've worked with in the media that have sadly taken their lives. And they weren't at the bottom when it comes to their careers. In one case, Charmaine Dragoon, she took her life and, mate, she was the vibrant young lady who had everything in front of her. And it's a little bit like Naomi Osaka, who has been thrust into the world of limelight, and she was one of these shy types that basically hasn't been able to deal with all of the pressure, and she's just a wonderful tennis player. So I think it works both, and there are triggers along the way that basically affect different people in different ways, and I think that's just the reality of it, and we have to accept it. Now, how do coaches get through to elite systems, diamonds, gymnasts, swimmers? Well, it has occurred in AFL as well. I mean, I've seen coaches physically and verbally assault people. I've seen it firsthand, and I'm in my 50s. Hayes is in his just turned 40, so he's in his 40s. I reckon he would have seen it. We've relayed stories of it, and is it acceptable in today's world? You could go out and punch people in a nightclub when I was young. You can't do it anymore, or if you do and you knock them out, you go to jail.
It's not accepted now, but there was a time where it was accepted and people did turn a blind eye to it. But I think the world is waking up, and I think these stories and people coming out only helps with that, Carl.
922-11882 to Scott in Wattle Grove. G'day, Scott.
Yeah, g'day, boys. I think I might be a first-time caller to your show, so take it easy. just getting onto your points, I think it comes down to culture and getting onto the mental health thing. I think it's great that the players are actually going home, because no matter what walk of life you're in, family always comes first. And I coach junior footy, and I got to sit in on a webinar with JL and Simo. And Simo said they've built their culture at the Eagles based on family, friends, and then flags. And if you get the first two right, the flags will come. So I think that's a really important note, is to family and then friends and then flags in any organisation is really important.
At the end of the day, it's just a sport, isn't it? We love our teams. We want them to do well. But we've also seen examples when we've had players injured. Players can step up, come in and do the job. And to miss a player for a week or two or three while they deal with some personal issues at home, I don't think is a big deal in sport anymore.
I must say, and this may be the old bloke coming out of me, but I much rather the day when you actually had a job, like I did, you know, and you played, you trained before work and after work, and you played on weekends, and that's how it was, because you had other things to do in your life rather than it just be living and breathing AFL. And essentially, when you do see players really struggle when they leave the caper, you know, like I know that clubs have got a hell of a lot better at forcing, essentially forcing, like what happened at West Coast when there was too much time on individuals' hands and they were doing the wrong thing, and then they brought in a policy that you had to go and do some study. And I know they've done that down at Freo for years. It took Lukey McFarlane, what, 12 or 14 years to become a pharmacist? But, I mean, that's the steps that they've taken in that area. But, you know, it did have its advantages back in days gone by, and this is the world of professional sport, not only Australian sport. You could talk about this across every sport.
It gives you balance, doesn't it? I think that's what you're getting at with that call, is it's about the balance and having something else to do and think about. But I think in sport, and we've all gone through it in our own careers, that you do need to have, you know, time to get away from the football club, but time to really focus on the football club. And if you're not right, take that time away from the club, get yourself right and come back.
Let's welcome Mouse into the program. Good evening, mate.
Carl and Paul, how are you? Fantastic show as always. I've been listening to a little of the commentary. First of all, three things I'll say. Carolyn Wilson is very rich saying what she said, because she is supposed to be a journalist, highly paid with a few networks, commentating on football, yet she took a month leave recently to go to Holland to support her daughter who had a baby. Now, isn't that the same thing as the Saint Kilda players? And if the ladies are allowed to take maternity leave when they have leave to have a baby. Surely the football players are allowed to do the same thing, number one. Number two is Tasmania. The crowds are deplorable. They had 3,400 game for GWS versus North Melbourne the other day. If they played that game in Wagga, there would have been 10,000 there. If they played it in Canberra, there would have been 10,000 there. Cairns had 10,000 or 13,000 for Adelaide to Kilda game. If Tasmania want to have a team, they actually need to promote the game and actually get people to the game. Otherwise, the AFL would say, why would we bother that? And the last one was, I was just going to say, I've been watching the Olympic trials a little bit. I've been to three Olympic Games. I've been lucky to be to three Olympic Games in my life. And it is fantastic to actually be there amongst it all when it all happens. But I've never known an Olympic time now where the build-up has been so low-key. Like Jessica Fox, I know the bloke Chalmers from Adelaide. The only girl I know apart from swimming is that she's on the Harvey Norman ad. That girl, what's her name? Ariane Titlis or whatever her name is. She's the only one I actually know. So it would be good if they get a bit of promotion and build-up before Tokyo. That's all I was like.
Yeah, well, I think that, unfortunately, Mouse, with what has transpired with COVID, that's pretty much dominated the headlines. Up to this point, it's pretty much dominated what we thought might not occur. Ariane Titmus is the young lady you're referring to, and last night she rewrote the record book. She smashed the Commonwealth Games record again, her second,
right.
And she was very, very good in when it comes to that department. That was the 200 freestyle, a Commonwealth and Australian record time of 1:53.09, and Kayleigh McKeon backed up her world record performance only a couple of nights ago, finishing second in the 200-metre individual medley. So some really good times have been swum. Our Australian athletes are certainly right on par when it comes to a lot of the world swimming times right now, and let's hope that we can be headed towards a really successful Olympic Games. It's 28-7, 922-11882 is the number. Daniel Rich from the Brisbane Lions will join us after this.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, drive car of the year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and our first guest tonight is Daniel Rich, Brisbane Lions defender, midfielder. What do we call you these days, Richie? Halfback? You know, destroyer by foot.
For a long time.
Destroyer by foot. Hey, got one of the best legs in the game, hasn't he, Hayes? Don't you reckon?
He does. Kicks it a mile. He's been getting plenty of it.
Exactly.
Just a dour defender.
Well, you've certainly turned things around, mate. Our team is performing some really good footy, and obviously at the moment back up in the top four after a little bit of an indifferent start, but you must be pleased with the trajectory at the moment.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things. I suppose when you perform reasonably well the year before, teams expect you to win more often than you lose, and we obviously were 1-3 early days. But I think, yeah, it's one of those things where we didn't feel like we were playing that bad. Obviously, the Swans were playing really good footy, and they did us at the Gabba. We didn't play well, and they played really well. So that was one game, and then we obviously had. We had Geelong away, Bulldogs away, who are obviously top three on the ladder, and we got over the line against Collingwood. So we knew we weren't far away, and then I suppose in the last 2 months we've been able to put some good footy together, and the wins have resulted on the back of that.
And of course, you lost your last game that you played against Melbourne before heading into your bye, and they've come out and since been beaten by Collingwood just yesterday. So it's quite interesting the way that it's going at the moment. You've got to be on your mettle, don't you? And even North Melbourne, I think, showed us last weekend that if you're not ready, well, they'll be able to challenge.
Oh, absolutely. I think the competition this year is so much even than I think it's been in the past, which is really good. Really good for the game. As you said, there's been a lot of teams that have been the underdog and got the results over the last few weeks. So it shows how even it is. And North Melbourne are playing really well. They've played really well and not been able to get the result a couple of times. I think they played Melbourne down in Tassie as well, and they were up by three or four goals at half time and just got overrun at the end. So they've shown that they've played some great footy, and the weekend was a great example of that.
Hey, Richie, the scrutiny and the pressure on AFL players right now is greater than any time in the game. How important is it for everybody to have that bye, get away from the club and just have some time out?
Yeah, it's huge. I think the bye is really important, especially on the back of, I suppose, last year where we played a little bit less game time. There were a few more rotations. There's a variety of things, but the bye came at a good time. I think players, as you guys know, need a break physically and mentally more than anything. That week in, week out, I suppose you're getting prepped for games, you're getting up for games, you're dealing with niggles. It's a whole variety of things. So to be able to not have those, I suppose, pressures for a weekend is it might not seem like a lot, but really it is as a player.
We've seen comments today from Caroline Wilson questioning some of the St Kilda players, in particular Seb Ross, around mental health. It's important to talk about this, and we've been discussing it off the top of our show, that, you know, it's just a no-go zone now for everybody in the industry, and just respect the privacy of those individuals.
Oh, absolutely. You see it. I've obviously played with a lot of players, and you don't know how someone's feeling and what they're dealing with. Even when you're on the same team, I think sometimes people let everything out, but sometimes there's things that people don't want to speak about and they want to deal with in their own way. But I think you have to treat every single person on their merits and be respectful of that. I agree. I think sometimes people don't understand what people are dealing with, and you just got to be supportive.
One thing that Hayes and I were just discussing prior to the break, I mean, he was fat shamed when he was down at the club and it made him work harder, but the bloke next door might not respond in the same sort of a way. And Hayes also revealed the story about when he was at training in boxing, that he actually got knocked out at training. Do you actually have boxing at training these days? And what are the parameters, if you do, around hitting a bloke in the head?
Yeah, I think on your first point, I think you're right. I think everyone's different and responds differently to whether it be criticism, feedback, whatever it might be. And I think these days the best teams and the best coaches, I think there's that level of performance that you want to look to improve and give each other feedback. But you do have to be smart with who you're speaking to. And I think that second point, we do a lot of boxing in our pre-season. As a bit of an extra conditioning side of things where you're not on your legs, and I think it's really good, but it probably does, for us, it drops away more in season because, as we know, we're going to battle in the weekend, so sometimes it's hard to really do that combat side of things during the week, and especially, I suppose, with the dangers and the parameters around concussion and what that means from a player missing games and obviously the future of it, what that could potentially mean. So for us, we don't really do that a lot during the season.
I'm not sure if you played with him, but Greg Broughton was the guy that knocked me out in the boxing ring. Did you play with him, Daniel?
Oh, I did. I played with him at Subiaco. Old Greggy. Funnily enough, when he was at Gold Coast, he was the one that slid across and dived for a ball and helped me do my ACL. So, good sleep for Greggy. But
let's go get him. You two both love him then.
Yeah. Yeah. I was winning the fight, though. I was winning the fight at the time, yeah. Carl.
Yeah, of course you were.
Now, mate, the other day, man,
he's
Carl.
He's a ripper.
We were having a chat about all Australian candidates, actually, myself and Carl, and we both thought that you would be in there, but also your teammate, Brandon Stasevich, of course, who has the West Australian connection. He's been in some rare form, beating some top players in this competition.
Oh, absolutely. He's highly respected and regarded behind our four walls, that's for sure. And obviously, being able to spend a lot of time with him down back in the I suppose the men's department back there, we really love what he does. He's that kind of guy that can play. He could pretty much play on almost anyone, to be honest. He's got that versatility, and we call him the glove around our four walls, but at the same time, he's good the other way as well, which adds another dimension to his bow.
The men's department down back, I like that. That is a very good one. Now, just having a look at a couple of your teammates, Lachie Neal, how'd he pull up, mate? First game back, I think, or has he played two? Game goes pretty fast these days, but he didn't look out of place.
Oh, no, he's one of those guys that when he put his hand up ready to go, he was ready to go. I think it was in... He played one game against Melbourne, then we had the bye, so I think that was potentially part of his decision, that if he pulled up a little bit sore, he had a 2-week window to get ready for the next one. But he's been fine. He's done every bit of training since that Melbourne game, so I do share a locker next to him, but we don't really talk about that side of things. rather have a joke than get too serious about injuries and whatnot. But he's been out on the park and training really well.
And another bloke I've been talking up his future is Zach Bailey up forward, mate. He booted 4 goals in that last game, but he'd been putting some good games together prior to that. That was just sort of a bit of an impact early, and obviously probably dried up a little bit for him late in that match. But he's a good young player, mate, and he looks like he's going to be around for a while.
Oh, absolutely. I think his pre-season was really good and showed some of those signs that he's going to be a pretty good player in the competition. And he's got a lot of dangerous attributes, as we've all seen over this season especially. But it's funny when we Bales, he's such a relaxed and, I suppose, laconic kind of guy. But then he does all this really exciting, high-speed goals and all that kind of stuff. It's a funny one, but he's fantastic to have around the club. The boys love him.
Now, what about Mitch Robinson, the game before? He's had 30, kicked 4 goals. Is
he
still...
would have told you about it.
Yeah, he would have told you about it, but that's how he should be. He's got a bit of character about him. But is he still gaming? Is he still bloody the Fortnite champion, or one of the Fortnite champions of the world?
Oh, he is. He's credit to him. He's doing really well with all that kind of stuff. I'm probably on the complete other end of the spectrum to Robert. He's one of my really good mates at the footy club, but almost polar opposites. He's that loud, boisterous, bloody kind of guy that loves gaming, and I'm that more relaxed, quiet guy that wouldn't know how to turn a PlayStation on, to be honest. So,
are you still playing?
Yeah, he's a ripper.
Not as often.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got other things on my plate. I'm an old haze, you know. I can't keep playing against the children
forever. I
remember
I came to work one day and Carl's playing Fortnite. There's a couple of 10-year-old Americans on the other end of the screen. I'm just going, what the hell is going on
here?
Well,
it's a good way to connect with the world, Richie, I reckon, and keep yourself young. Don't you think that's a good idea?
Oh, I'm going to have to disagree on this one, Carl. It's not for me.
Good on you, mate. Good to chat. Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it. Take care and good luck on the weekend against the Kangaroos.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Good on you. Daniel Rich, Brisbane Lions defender with a leg from heaven. There's not many better kicks in the game than him, in my view. Shannon Hearn and he just have unbelievable ability to get power, direction, distance, anything that you'd like to throw in there, accuracy. We need to clear a commitment. On the other side, we're going to have a chat to a young lady I'm sure is very, very excited. Her name is Penny Squibb. She has been announced as part of our Hockeyroos team heading to the Tokyo Olympic Games.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have your company and legendary moments. Thanks to Bowls Australia. Local legends are wanted. You search Bowls clubs near me. And speaking of local legends, we are hoping that this young lady can go on and become an Olympic gold medalist in her debut Olympic Games. I'm sure that she is very, very excited on getting the news of her selection. We're talking about Penny Squibb that joins us right now here on Sports Day. Welcome, Pen. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Going really well. Now, a 6-year-old girl starts playing her favourite sport. Her father's a local hockey coach. You grew up in Tambalop. You played alongside your brother and your sister. And here you are playing in an Australian team. How does it feel?
Oh, it's pretty overwhelming at the moment. Lots of different emotions, but I guess the overarching one is just some serious excitement.
It hasn't been that easy for you, has it, though? I mean, you know, when it comes to being part of our national squad, you were named in the Hockeries squad in 2019. However, in 2020, you missed out on being selected for the national team. What did you do to put yourself back in front of everyone and make sure that you didn't miss out this time?
Yeah, so 2019, was in the squad, had lots of injuries, hamstrings, just little ones that just, I guess, hung around. So then for me, last year was purely just based on getting my body as robust as possible. So talking to different strength and conditioning coaches and using all the resources that I have around Perth to get better and just work hard. That was the overarching thing of just head down and work as hard as I can to try and give myself the opportunity this year.
There's been a bit going on with this team. What's the expectation from within going into this Olympics for potentially a medal, hopefully?
Yeah, it's there has been a lot, but I think the team and the squad as a whole is in a really good spot. We are extremely competitive. I think the selection process for the 16 would have been quite difficult because everyone put their best foot forward. So the expectations that we've set put on ourselves is that gold medal match when we get to Tokyo. But it's just a lot of hard work from now until then, though.
What about Rachel Lynch? She's had some ups and downs in recent times as well. It must have been emotional to see her back included in the squad.
Yeah, to see Lynchy back in the squad was pretty special, I guess, when she got included. But then to see her, I guess, overcome everything that happened toward end of last year and the start of this year, to overcome that and then be named in the Olympic squad is a pretty special achievement for her. And as I play club with her here in Perth, and so it was a pretty special moment when we found out.
Now, Squibby, you are a veteran of your sport. Were you getting to the point where you thought that this moment might not come?
Yeah, definitely. So if you had have asked me 18 months ago whether I would have gone to the Olympics, well, one, I wasn't in the squad, and two, the Olympics then got postponed. So then it was like, okay, there's a possibility still. So it was kind of a let's give everything I've got to this, and then we go from there. I mean, the next Olympics is not too far away, but it'll be a pretty big push, I think, to try and push for that one again.
Well, you can never say never, particularly if you make your mark. And look, what's the talk been like amongst the group, the girls, when it comes to actually heading to Tokyo? And have you been, have you had your vaccinations yet? And have you learnt what you've got to do? Any of those things been forthcoming just yet?
Yeah, so we've had both of our dose or both of our vaccines. So we've had both courses of that. So that's been all been organised by the AOC. And then in terms of learning about, I guess, everything that's going on with COVID in Japan and then what we need to do to stay safe, there's an ongoing information booklet basically that we get all the time with new information, what's happening and how it needs to happen. So full of information, and I don't think we'll have many questions come when we leave.
You're very good at the drag flicking. Are you still going to take those penalty corners?
Yeah, hopefully I'll get a few when we're there. It's one of those skills that the more you practice, the better you get. So there'll be a fair bit of practice between now and leaving for Tokyo to just refine it and get better. But, hopefully I get a few chances while we're there.
Just quickly, what's the art to it?
Practice.
Practice, but lower body strength, and then it's all technique-based. If you watch some of the guys do it, it looks effortless. I guess watch anyone in the world that does it well, it doesn't look like they're trying at all, but the ball comes off pretty quickly.
You do it like that. Don't worry about that, Penny. You execute it pretty bloody well. Thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations and good luck.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Penny Squibb, a local country girl, and she is going to her first Olympic Games. You can hear the excitement in her voice. We'll clear a commitment. We'll come back, and we will tell you what's coming up after 7 here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Now, local legends, I wanted you to call a bowls club just up the road. You can search bowls clubs near me. Get along there and have a fair bit of fun. And we'll talk to Johnny Slavich in the next hour about the wonderful world of lawn bowls. Sleepmaker, the maker of Australia's mattress, our talkback number tonight. Please call through 922-118-882. We've got plenty more to talk about. Our Wildcats coach Trevor Gleeson will join us. We'll have a chat to Ben Damon. We'll preview the Hooney and Gallon fight. Looking forward to that. That's going to be exciting. We'll do some motorsport as well. But the news is next.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive Car of the Year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Great to have your company, and we'd love to hear from you on 922-118-882, the Sleepmaker, maker of Australia's mattress. That is our number. Trevor Gleeson to join us shortly, but let's jump into a sports update for the Bottle-O. Gotta love your local, gotta love the Bottle-O. How is the basketball progressing, Hayes?
Well, Melbourne United, they've come back really well. They lead 70-63, 4:19 to go in the last
quarter. They were 15 behind.
They're playing well, getting it done. Jock Landale has been one of their very best. Some other news around, Carl, in swimming. Brianna Throssell is off to the Olympic Games once again. She's got a qualifying time, and she's taken out the 200 metres butterfly.
Good job. Just on the soccer tonight, just under 5 hours, you'll have to wait for those World Game lovers. I know that you'll be setting your alarm clocks for that. Soccer is taking on Jordan. Graham Arnold has promised that he will be selecting a strong side, so just under 5 hours to wait there. And looking forward to seeing what is going to happen with Jordan Dugowie, who was offered a week for rough conduct on Clayton Oliver. What do you think about that, Hayes? Did you have a bit of a look at that one today?
Well, they go, 1 week is what they've been given. Mm-hmm. But you look at that one, this one's where he's actually ran past the ball, hasn't he? And he's got him in the head. The
Gonski?
Outcome is different. He's Gonski. He should get 1 week. But you compare it to the McKay one, where he obviously is still in contention for the footy. So there's a big discrepancy there for mine. But I think he will get 1 week. And I think it's clear now, as we spoke about off the top of the show, I think we all need to change our opinion on this, because the AFL looks like they're going down a path where they just don't want to see concussion in our game. But in relation to that, Carl, and obviously the hit on Hunter Clark and his three fractures that he's now got in his jaw, will the mark be the next thing that gets looked at? We'd need people in the head. We've seen a few examples. I'm being serious here.
Oh, I've seen this before.
It's going to happen. Like, we see it every second week where somebody goes with a knee. Yeah. We love that part of the game
sometimes. Why are you allowed to do that? Well, isn't that high contact? I mean, if you knee a bloke in the head, is that not high contact? Isn't it like punching a bloke in the head?
100%. I think it's going to get to that. If we are serious, unfortunately, about stamping out concussion in the game, I think the AFL will find that in time.
The fans won't like that, though.
No, they won't.
Well, they might. 9222182.
Give us a hard to jump with your legs straight, isn't it?
Well, you've just got to jump up. I mean, look, you can... I mean, do you have a problem, like the other thing that people have been calling out, though, is just kneeing blokes fair in the back as well? Because there are quite a few blokes that actually do that, where they just knee them straight in the back. And sometimes, I don't know that it's that well executed, I think, with some of the players that actually try to do it either.
Or do you just accept some danger in the game? Is that where we need to settle on? Because...
Well, I've often said this, that, you know, people criticise AFL players for the amount of money they get, and, you know, they say they're soft. If you want to listen to our, go back to our first caller tonight with Craig and Greenwood, I mean, that was his opinion. That's what he said. He basically reckons they have to toughen up and get at it. I am probably of the view that if you want to sign, it's probably a little bit like getting in the boxing ring, right? If you know that the sport is around getting hit in the head, and at times you're going to have those collisions in AFL footy. I mean, what would Andrew McKay, and it'd be interesting to ask Hunter Clark, is Hunter Clark upset that he got his jaw broken? Did he think that it was unfair as he looked at the video? We'd have to ask him, because I'm not going to put words into his mouth. But what if he thought that that was a fair contest? We'd have to ask him. Do the fans think it was a fair contest? Because I would have thought that, you know, as you said the other day, if the ball bounces his way,
he
takes possession. Hunter Clark had dipped down. Hunter Clark did touch the footy. McKay definitely turned his body. He chose to bump to protect himself as well as obviously trying to just minimise the impact to himself, which is naturally what you're going to do. If you go back in the day, you know, most players would do that. I don't think these younger blokes protect themselves as well, because they leave themselves more open because they're not expecting the contact.
They're not looking for Byron Pickett out of the corner of their eye.
No, and neither they should, because the rules have changed. So they're getting educated differently. And this is where you're going to see the older blokes, which McKay is, he's an older bloke, maybe succumb to these sorts of scenarios more than maybe what we'd seen in the past. But going forward, the only way you're going to deal with an issue like that is basically get blokes to sign contracts. And when you sign up to play, you accept that it might be part of it and you live with it. That's the other alternative. If you want to have your say about that, you're more than welcome to. Great range friendly service. They're independently owned by the locals. Got to love your local. Got to love the bottle-o. 9221882. Perth Glory signing Bruno Fornaroli to a 2-year deal till the end of 2022-23 season. That's an important signing, isn't it?
It is. We've got some stars here for the Perth Glory. You talk about him, you talk about Diego Castro as well, and they're building a younger team. But with those two at the helm, we're a chance.
Rod in Lansdale joins us. G'day, Rod.
Oh boy, look, it's a real dilemma what we're talking about with courage of players. And when we look at the marks, say like Jonathan Brown and Nick Riewoldt, when courageous marks of the years when they took them and they were coming the other way, when the pack's coming, towards the ball and they're coming the other way and they launch with their legs and their knees in the air. They take the mark. But even Jonathan Brown suffered horrendous facial injuries where he's got plates in his face from the marks that he's actually taken. What if that was the other way, if he'd actually taken that mark and collected a person? Even like, look at James Hurd. He ran into a pack and he ran into his own teammate's face and he's collapsed his face in. So are we going to say to players that you cannot run against the flight of the ball because you could potentially injure the guys that are coming towards the ball? It's a dilemma, isn't it? But where are we going to be stopping those marks, as I say, the Jonathan Brown and Nick Ruart mark that we replay and we marvel at, the great courage? Are we going to stop it? I mean, I don't know what the answer is. I'm just putting that question up for discussion.
Yeah, look, even with the marking, if you go up and knee somebody in the back of the head, if somebody gets suspended for that, I don't think it's going to stop the action straight away because it's going to take a long time to get that out. That's how we jump for the footy. You try and get a little bit of a ride. So the AFL might try it. They might try what you're suggesting, but I think it's going to take a bit of time to get out of the game.
Yeah, so I didn't like the Plowman one. I don't like the McKay one either, to be perfectly honest. I think that you should be able to contest the ball. What it should be ruled out for is blatant hits behind the play when you're not involved in the action, or deliberate when you're looking at a bloke's head and you like the Taylor Walker and Ben King ones where they didn't even look at the footy and they smacked their opponents, including Luke Ryan, in the head. They're the ones to me that should have been suspended this
weekend.
They're
simple. And that's simple to erase that from the game. 1 week, bang, we don't see it anymore.
Because they were trying to crack them straight in the head. Both those blokes got cracked straight in the head. Double, basically. One was a swinging chicken wing, right, of King's, and the other one was a double attempted punch by Walker, and he had no intention and got nowhere near the ball. He just crunched his opponent straight in the head. Simon, g'day.
Yeah, g'day, Carl and Hayes. It's pretty simple. You stole my thunder, Carl. You just make the players sign a waiver and get on with it because they're only worried about litigation in the future.
Yeah, the AFL is. That's right. But
why all these rule changes? I mean, just get the players to sign a waiver like they do in the UFC or in boxing, like you said.
I don't know if it'll protect them, though, Simon.
Anything dirty obviously gets rubbed out, but, you know, just get on with it.
Yep. All right, mate. Good on you. Thanks for your call. I don't know whether the waiver will do, but great range, friendly service, independently owned by the locals. Got to love your local. Got to love the bottle. SKG Injury Report, Hayes. SKG Radiology care about your welfare and are now bulk billing. And I'll tell you what, doesn't sound like good news. And we'll find out more tomorrow, hopefully. But for Darcy Moore, PCL injury he has sustained. That's what the reports are. And that he may well now be out for the rest of the season.
It's looking that way, Carl. It was a danger game, really, for the Fremantle Dockers. They need to keep winning. But on the back of them beating Melbourne, Collingwood, Darcy Moore and Jordan De Goey at this stage ruled out. That is a big win for the Fremantle Dockers. So great to see. And Luke Shuey, of course, the other big news that has come out this week. Back playing in the Waffle this weekend. And a lot of the other stars for the Eagles not far away.
Now, of course, Dane Zorko is suspended for this next game, but when you have a look at the rest of the players, Cam Ellis-Yom and Jared Berry are both listed as tests for the Brisbane side, so we'll see whether they can get up at the Blues. Do they get anybody back? Michael Gibbons is listed as a test, and Harry Mackay, who signed a new contract today, he is listed after concussion as a test, as is Nick Newman. You'd expect that those three would be very important inclusions to the Carlton side, who are taking on GWS. Will be looking to get back on the bike. Collingwood, of course, have the bye this weekend, so Darcy Moore's situation will be one that we'll need to find out. And when it comes to the game between the Hawks and Essendon, do you tell you what, Essendon have been as hard hit as anybody this season, but they do have some cavalry that could be coming back. Tom Cutler will have a test. He has a calf injury. Devin Smith, been out for a while with a hamstring. He's listed as a test. Peter Wright hurt his calf. He's also listed as a test. So there's three very well-credentialed players that could easily come back into the side. What about the Freo Dockers, Hayes? Because when you look through there, Fifey is listed as a test on his shoulder. Sam Switkowski, hamstring, and Matt Tabiner, hopefully he'll return for with his ankle. So some pressure for spots on at the Dockers.
Absolutely. And Hayden Young, I interviewed him the other day, not far away. He could be available too. He's a talented player on the outside and a very skilled player. Probably what they're missing a little bit on the outside at the moment. So look forward to that, Carl.
All right. So SKG Radiology, care about your welfare. They're now bulk billing at Medicare. rebatable services across all 20 locations. We'll come back and have a chat to Trevor Gleeson. We'll know his opponent. In fact, I think we already do. It's very, very close to the finish, and it is going to be the Melbourne United that are going to be taking on the Perth Wildcats here in Game 1 of the Grand Final Series on Friday.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
And we are joined by our favourite coach, Select Car Craft, selectcarcraft-car-craft.com.au, into another grand final. And it's 84-74. Melbourne United have just defeated South East Melbourne after South East Melbourne early in this match led by 15. Trevor Gleeson, good evening to you.
G'day, boys. How are we doing?
We're going really well. How are you doing? You now know your opponents, mate. Melbourne United, it's a side that you've had very little fear playing against in the past. In fact, your track record with them, particularly in this season, has been pretty good.
Yeah, we match up really well with them. So, yeah, it was quite an entertaining game, a bit of a seesawing game just then. But, yeah, happy it's over, and now we can lock on to playing against United.
Some big performances from Jock Landale and also Chris Golding. You're going to have to watch those players.
Yeah, well, look, they're going to be going close to making the Boomer squad for the Tokyo Olympics. So we know how good they are. Jock was sensational there tonight, so... going to have our hands full, but I think we're going to be up for the challenge.
Talk us through last night with Mitch Norton, how close he came to not playing, and then he plays. He was remarkable. His defensive efforts were huge, but he came up big with 15 points as well.
Yeah, no, that was his best leadership game by a mile. That you know, he's played with pain. He's put that aside to put it, you know, play for the Wildcats jersey. And he was not only a great defensive effort on Harvey, stopping him to, you know, I think about 8 points, 9 points below his average, and then go out there and be one of our leading scorers. And, you know, he just took over the control of the game and diving on loose balls, just putting his body on the line. It was some of the best leadership I've ever seen.
Hey, Trev, when it comes to shooting, like we saw it tonight, early in that game, South East Melbourne were just dropping everything. And then for much of the second half, they had their opportunities, but it just wasn't the same conversion rate. And we saw it a little bit in your game as well. You know, the first half from Blanchfield, 21 points. He ends up putting a few up after that. He ends up with 24 in the game. And that third quarter where he scored only 9 points was a little bit like that for you. What is it you think that affects the players that forces them all of a sudden go from sinking everything to basically missing everything?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit of concentration, a little bit of tactics from the opposition. They might change it up so you're not getting the same shots or the same looks. And with us last night, we just got more complacent and we kept on looking at the scoreboard and say we're up by 14, we're up by 10, we're okay, instead of just playing and getting on with play what's in front of you. So as soon as we did that, we were able to get the lead back to double digits.
Gee, Trevor, I'm glad you don't fire up at us on this show, because you fired up in that third quarter. You called the timeout, you got them in, and you basically said that. You were talking a lot about attitudinal things, which I was surprised by. I thought, you know, sometimes you'll talk about tactics, but you are a coach that likes to make sure you can control the controllables and get the attitude right.
Yeah, and that's, if everybody on the court is off 1% or 2%, then all of a sudden you're 10% behind the game, and that's how I felt in the third quarter. We weren't cutting hard, we weren't sharp with our passes, we weren't sharp with our screens and our desperation to get the rebounds. And at the playoff level, that shows out. And I just thought I'd bring the guys in and just give them a friendly reminder.
Didn't you see Trev in game two? You know, remember he called us dumber and dumber. Did you see the tech foul that he copped? And you see what they lost.
And you see what they lost
the game by that point, that particular moment. You must reflect on these things, because you've always worn your heart in your sleeve, and that's why we've loved so much about seeing you in action, the success that you had. I mean, these are things that you must do. But mate, sometimes you've got to control yourself, don't you? And even you find it difficult.
Yeah, without a question. I was lucky on that occasion that he missed the foul shot, so it didn't cost us anything. But, I often wonder, imagine if some of the AFL coaches had their referee right in front of them on the boundary line, like it is in basketball, that you could instantaneously let your feelings know. So I'm not sure a few of them would be still coaching. They might be barred. But, yeah, it is. It's you got to work the referees a little bit. You also got to know when to shut up and let the players run it. So hopefully I run that fine line.
Hey, Trev, we talk about a lot of the success the Wildcats have had with imports, but your recruiting of talent from other clubs has been first class. Norton and Kay last year, good mates, and then Blanchfield this year comes across. That's amazing recruiting in my eyes.
Yeah, well, you really look at their skill set and how they can fit into us. Like, we missed Tirico White with the imports changing back to two imports, so we couldn't bring Tirico back, and we needed a wing guy, and Blanchfield had that set of skills that we're after and just kind of fitted in really smoothly and getting plenty of shots. And, you know, they feed off that if they can improve and see if they're going to, you know, be a big part of the team.
There's a lot of expectation on Luke Travers going in. He probably had a quieter night, but that performance late in the game, the rebound, the sprint up the other end and the dunk basically just showed his class.
Yeah, and that was loud. That arena just erupted out of that. I was yelling top of my lungs and I couldn't even hear myself. But, yeah, that's a special play. He's had a great weekend. You know, he was a really big instigator of why we got to game three in the first place with Mitch Norton going down, and he really took over for such a young guy to do that, to show that poise. It's, you know, very, very bright future.
Are you happy with the two home finals to start the campaign?
Yeah, it kind of surprised me that, but it is what it is. So, yeah, we'll take it without a question. Hopefully we can get the Red Army full. I said there's no AFL football this weekend, so hopefully we can get a few Eagles fans and Dockers fans putting the red on, coming to the arena and help us beat Melbourne.
There's $25 tickets. They're on sale, so please go along and support our Perth Wildcats and hopefully you can get the first two. And then you got, basically the way Hayes and I look at it, three free swings to go at wherever you've got to play against Melbourne United. Trev, thanks very much for your time tonight, mate. Take care and good luck.
Thanks, boys. No worries.
Game one for everyone who is going to go along to the Wildcats, or if you hadn't considered going, please get along. The first game gets underway at 6:30 on Friday. Second game is on Sunday, and as I said, those tickets are available to purchase now. If you go to Ticketmaster, you'll be able to find all of the details there. And make sure that you get along and get behind our Perth Wildcats. Hey, one thing we haven't spoken about, what about the Scott McCardo deal to come and play for Mandra Magic for the NBL One season? Hasn't that just put a little bit of publicity right on that little competition, eh?
It's enormous. The West Australian tricked me. They basically set it up that he was coming to the Perth Wildcats, and then you get into the article, and he's obviously going down there. Fantastic, and speaks volumes of what they're doing with NBL One.
All right, Trevor Gleeson here every week, thanks to Carcraft, performing at the top of motor body repairs since 1987. Visit car-craft.com.au. We need to clear a commitment. On the other side, we're going to have a chat to Ben Damon, boxing manager. Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have your company and looking forward to having a yak to Ben Damon around the Foxtel main event, which we will all be tuned into tomorrow night as Paul Gallen takes on Justa Tooney. Looking forward to this. So welcome to you, Benny. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very well. Very excited about tomorrow night. So, yeah, we've got a massive main event with Paul Gallen and Justa Tooney and a really strong undercard as well. And, geez, they've talked it up this week, so everyone's pretty pumped.
Well, I was watching the promotion yesterday, and Dean Lonergan, the promoter, he thinks that Gallen has no chance, that we shouldn't even watch. What did you make of that? He compared him to Winks versus Eeyore, the donkey.
Yeah, he doesn't want you to not watch. Dean Lonergan most certainly wants you to either get to the venue if you can or buy on main event pay-per-view, because he sees the dollar signs when he talks. And he's been talking it up, but gee, didn't Paul Gallen give it back. He had a crack at everyone at that press conference, not only at Dean, the promoter, but obviously at Justice. And most notably, he said to him, "I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to break something on you so that you can't go to the Olympics. And your dream that you've had since you were 7 years of age is going to be essentially gone." So, he's really trying to get into the head of Justa Tooney. He even had a crack at his dad, said how embarrassing it was that he's trying to live essentially his own failed sporting career through his son. So he pulled no punches. And we'll have to see how Justa Tooney reacts to that, because he's only had four professional fights. He's only 22 years of age, and he is headed towards the Olympics, but he's never had anyone talk to him like this. So he's trying to unsettle him. He's trying to wind him up, and he's trying to have an impact on the way that he performs tomorrow night. And we'll just have to see how it works.
Well, tell us a bit more about Justa Tooney. We know a fair bit about Paul Gallen, but what about his style? What will he try and do to get the win against Paul Gallen?
He's a heavyweight who boxes like a middleweight. He moves exceptionally well around the ring. Not only are his hands incredibly fast and he's counterpunching on point, but also his feet. He just uses the ring so well and is able to cut off the ring on his opponents, get away from them when they're trying to get in tight. And that's what's so important tomorrow night, because we know what Paul Gallen's going to do. He's going to try and crowd Justice Hooney, try and bully him, use his strength, rough him up, and try and fight this fight at close quarters. But Justice Hooney not only has those really quick hands, but he has really good feet as well. So he will be trying to get away from him to stay long and use his distance, because he's a much, much bigger man. There were 7 kilos or so on the scales, but there's a great deal of difference in terms of height and reach. So Justice, being the slicker boxer, no doubt, will try and use that ability against the brawler that is Paul Gallen.
I watched the previous fight against Soy, and I thought that I expected Hooney to knock him out. He was much taller in that fight, but he didn't. It went the distance, and I see this as much the same, but I reckon Gallen is going to be a hell of a lot fitter.
Yeah, he's going to be fitter, that's for sure, than what Christian Soy was. In that fight, he had his moments, Christian Soy, and he did get in tight there with Justice Hooney, but he just didn't work hard enough, or he didn't have the conditioning probably to do so. Justice in that fight probably didn't try and get rid of him. He saw early on it was going to be quite difficult to knock him out, because he's such a tough guy, Christian Soy. And his father in the corner, you could hear him between rounds saying, let's just keep going, kid. Let's get the rounds and use this essentially as a sparring session before that Paul Gallen event. He'll be trying to get rid of Gallen. I think he's going to try and work the body of Paul Gallen. He hasn't been hit hard to the body much, and he could tell even in that Zoe fight that Hooney was really trying to bring out his body punching, and I think that was all in practice for what he's going to try and do against Paul Gallen, to test him out with those body shots. But we get to see just how tough Paul Gallen is. He appears to be incredibly tough. He just beat a former heavyweight champion of the world in the first round in Lucas Brown. And now he's going to take on someone who is just at the absolute peak of their game. And he's going to have to try and sustain a fair few shots, I think, and keep marching forward. So, Paul Gallen, certainly not the better boxer in there, but he's always so very fit. He's so tough and so strong, so he gives himself a chance every time.
Lucas Brown, that was sad the way that he turned out. I think the condition that he turned out in, I don't know that we can really count that one, can we? But anyway, he did pole axe him at, what was, a minute 55 into the first round, and that was quicker than when he knocked out John Hoppawattie. It was a TKO in round two, and 2 minutes and 7 seconds into that, going back a few fights earlier. But he's only lost one fight, Gallen. He has proven to be very adept in the ring. So, mate, I don't think we can underestimate him here.
No, you'd be foolish to do so. I think that he was underestimated against Lucas Brown, and probably by the Brown camp themselves, because you're right, he didn't turn up in the best condition, Lucas. He just thought his power would get him through, and that was not the case. Gallen was much more tenacious, much stronger, and a bigger puncher than what they thought. But no, Paul Gallen hasn't lost any fights. He's only got the one draw, in fact, and that was against Barry Hall in what he saw as quite a controversial fight when the rounds were reduced in time to 2 minutes. And he thought that he had won the fight as well at the end of it. The rest of them, he's won, and he just keeps improving. And since he's being able to dedicate himself full-time to boxing rather than doing it and rugby league at the same time, he's changed his body shape and he's changed the way that he's training. This is the lightest that he's weighed in for a fight and the lightest that he thinks that he's probably been since he was about 18 years of age. So he is a boxer now. He has the body of a boxer, and he's been conditioning himself just like a boxer. So he gives himself every possible chance, but Justice Hooney does look freakishly good.
Are you surprised at how good he's going at the moment, Paul Gallen, and how good he's been for boxing in this country? Because he's not carrying boxing, but he's doing a lot of good work for the promotion of Australian boxing right now.
Oh, yeah, he's done some great stuff for boxing in Australia, and what we were able to do was bring through some legitimate boxing names off the back of him. We were fighting Tim Zhu on Paul Gallen's undercards only a couple of years ago, and now Tim Zhu's the biggest name in the sport in the country and on the cusp of a world title shot, which we are hoping to bring here to Australia. So he's done some great things for boxing. He's a huge boxing fan, and he gets that he gets how boxing works, essentially. So even tomorrow night in this fight, he probably could have tried to throw his weight around and say, no, I want to walk out second, which is the prestigious thing to do in the main event. But he said, no, Justice Hooney is the Australian heavyweight champion, so it's fair that he does walk out second, and that's the way that it'll be. So he has respect for the sport. He's been very, very good, and a lot of people want to watch him, and not only do they want to see him improve and see how good he is, but a huge section of the population also want to see him get knocked out. So I'm sure they'll all be tuning in tomorrow night because they get every chance of getting that in this one against a young, hungry 22-year-old undefeated star like Justice Ernie. So there'll be plenty, as always, baying for the blood of the former footy star, now undefeated heavyweight boxer.
Who are some of the highlights on the undercard for you?
Yeah, it's a really strong undercard. Five fights in total. So they're all pretty good, to be perfectly honest. But I'm really looking forward to a fight that we'll see at middleweight, the third bout on the card between Alex Hannon, who's a Kiwi now based in Sydney, and Andrei Mikhailovich, who is a Russian Kiwi who has a fantastic backstory. Those two, you may have seen at the announcement press conference a few weeks ago, were just absolutely giving it to each other. They've got a lot of history. Even today, Alex Hannon pulled out the handgun symbol after he weighed in and was shooting at Mikhailovich and his team, which is in pretty bad taste, but it does tell you the level of animosity in this fight. So can't wait to see them. And the co-main as well between Isaac Hardman, who's always fascinating to watch, and Emmanuel Carlos for the Australian middleweight title. So some really good fights, and all culminates, of course, in this massive heavyweight showdown between Justice Ernie and Paul Gallen.
Okay, so who wins and how? Eeyore or Winx? Who are you going for?
Yeah, well, you've got to back Winx, really, because he's just such a classy boxer. He's so skillful, but you can't write off Paul Gallen. He will be charging across this ring like he did against Lucas Brown. He'll be trying to catch him with something early and catch him cold, because he thinks he's in the head of Justice Ernie, and he expects Justice to get out there and the bright lights to have an impact on him. So if he doesn't adjust early, he's going to have a relentless Paul Gallen straight in front of him. But if he can survive and weather that early storm, I think he's going to outbox Paul Gallen. And I think maybe as it gets on, there'll be some decisions needed to be made by referees and corners as to whether Gallen can stay in this fight. But it's a fascinating fight. Can't wait to see what happens and to see just how good Justice Ernie is when he's got someone like this in front of him.
Thank you very much for your time tonight, mate. Great preview. We look forward to tuning in tomorrow. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, absolute pleasure. Enjoy the fights on Main Event tomorrow night.
Good on you. Ben Damon there, boxing manager and commentator. Fox Sports Main Event, hashtag Gallen Hooney, everybody. And I can tell you this, 99.4 kilograms is what Gallen weighed in at. Hooney at 106.35. And obviously he's a much taller man and have a much bigger reach. But Paul Gallen is not a bloke that doesn't back up his word from what I've seen so far in his boxing career. So really looking forward to it, Hayes.
Hooney in two for me, Carl. I think he's going to get knocked out this time around, Paul Gallen.
Reckon Hooney in two? Nah, no way. If he couldn't knock the bloke out that he fought last time in Soy, there's no way he's knocking Gallen out, in my view. Although, you know, Benny, if we take it on his word, he reckons he just used it to go a few rounds and get some practice in before he takes on Gallen. But looking forward to that. We'll clear a commitment. On the other side, we'll come back with some motorsport here on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day and our motorsport update for Tony's Auto Wreckers. Quality spare parts at competitive prices is what you will get right there. But a man who has kindly joined us again in advance of what is going to be a very, very good weekend up there at Darwin, the Merlin Darwin Triple Crown gets underway in around 3 days' time. So looking forward to that, Matt McKeldin. Thank you for joining us, mate. Great to chat.
G'day, boys. And yes, back to the land of crocodiles and mosquitoes up there in Darwin. Absolutely sensational. And arguably the best racing weekend, if you're a participant, the best racing weekend of the year. Because if you're in the southern states, we're all, of course, wearing jumpers and it's freezing cold. Whereas you get up there in the middle of winter into Darwin and you get to put the thongs and the shorts and the T-shirts on, and it's just a great place to go racing.
Just ahead of Winton, I reckon.
Oh, mate. Can't get me started on Winton.
Look, I've just had some friends that have just come back from Darwin and I've booked a trip to head up there myself after the AFL season has finished once we get the grand final done in that particular code. But it is a fantastic part of the world. People don't probably appreciate how small it is. And just to describe it to you for our Perth audience over here in Western Australia, it's about a city of about 150,000 people, which is essentially Bunbury, Collie, Busselton, that particular little precinct here in Western Australia. But the ease of moving around the city and the beauty of the city, and to get up there and to enjoy the environment, as you say, mate, perfect time. If people have got tickets, we're all very jealous, aren't we?
Oh, look, 100%. And you know, you as a racing driver, we used to go up there and we'd spend, say, Monday, and or we'd go up the Wednesday before. We definitely stay on for Monday. And the history of the place with Cyclone Tracy and all the World War II stuff. You can go down to Berry Springs, which is about an hour out of Darwin, and actually jump in the water without fear of getting your legs chomped by a croc. Mindle Markets, Darwin Ski Club. And as I said, it's like 28, 29, 30 degrees this time of the year. So as the legend Molly Meldrum would say, do yourself a favour and get up there at some stage because it is a cracking place.
And there's a big race this weekend. How do you see it playing out? And has all the crew been able to get up there through quarantine issues?
They have. They're all up there now. I know that because I see it on Instagram and they're all drinking beers in their thongs. They are all up there. They're ready to go. As I said, it is a great racetrack, hugely long straight, pretty good on tyres, but it's a sort of track that can throw up an interesting result. We've seen Nissans win there before. We've seen people get their first win up there that weren't heralded for a win. So it's typically a good weekend. The stadium super trucks are there, or as we call them on the driver's seat, the jumping trucks. They're going up there as well. That's always good fun. SVG will be, he's got good history there. He'll be hard to beat right now. Obviously, Jamie Wincup's having a good year as well. It'll be interesting to see how the DJR guys go up there. This will be their first time there without Scotty McLaughlin and Fabian Coulthard. They've got a really good Aboriginal livery on their Shell V-Power Mustang. So that's going to be cool to see as well. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And, of course, we haven't had any racing in the last month or two in supercars because we had Winton delayed. So it's just going to be good to be able to sit down and watch them on TV again.
Is this going to be a lead-in to who wins the championship, mate? Because since 1998, no other active circuit has seen more race winners go on to win the title. 24 Darwin events, 14 winners have come from the weekend winner to go on and win the championship.
That, in the world of stats, that is an absolute ball terror. very, very possibly. It is a good indicator of form because it's the sort of track that has big long straight, so it suits a power when you've got good engine underneath your right foot down that long straight. And then also when you get over to the back of the valley, it's off camber and it's tight and twisty. Now, if your car handles that well, it's going to handle it well at any circuit. So you're right. I think if we see SVG have another ripping round, you know, put a couple of bickies on him for the end of the year because it's every chance that he's going to pull through.
They don't call it the top end for nothing, Carl, because if you win, you're at the top of it. Mate,
this is the amazing part, right? So Shane Van Gisbergen leads the title right now. He won in Darwin from 12th, right? And that was in 2011. He won the title. And then he also won at Hidden Valley in 2016 en route to the title as well. So, mate, it has been a very, very, very good guide.
Good by you. What about Chas Mostert? A new deal for him with Walkinshaw Andretti. Any surprise there?
No surprise. I know Chas pretty well, and I know Chas likes what he knows, and they've built a team around him at WAU. They're really, Chas is the man. He's got a younger teammate, and so he is the clear team leader within that team. There was some scuttlebutt and rumour that he was being targeted by Triple Eight, but I genuinely don't think that was ever a strong consideration for Chas. He's got a great life. That team love him. He loves that team. And they're on the up. You know, I think he can genuinely see some strong prospects for him from a championship point of view in the future. So no big surprise from me. And I'm glad that he stayed. I'm glad that he stayed a WAU guy because they allow him to show his personality. And I don't think we'd be able to see that from him at Triple Eight.
Have you seen the little interview that Lando Norris has just given recently? Couldn't even remember who Daniel Ricciardo was. He's been beating his teammate. He's like a thing of the past. It was a bit of a chuckle, eh?
How was that? I think he was doing one of these sponsor Zoom call sorts of things.
And meet the fans.
Someone asked him a question. That's right. And he was asked to describe something, and he started by saying Carlos, which is his former teammate of last year. How's that for one upside the chops on the big boy for Danny Ricciardo?
Yeah, well, one of the youngsters actually picked him up too. One of the fans that were in the Fan Meet Driver video series is what it was all about. So, good stuff.
Old Danny who? You know, when you're not winning, it's Danny who.
Yeah, that's right. Nice to chat.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, mate. Well, thank you.
Of course, we've got the Formula One Grand Prix in France this weekend. So hopefully, Western Australia boy, Aussie boy, Dan will be able to get one back on young Lando for that little gap.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much, Matt. We really appreciate it, mate. We'll have a chat again soon.
Good on you, fellas.
Matt McKeldin, Queensland's number one real estate agent. If you want to buy some property over in that part of the world, look up Matt. I'll tell you, he's got plenty that you can hook into right now. And if you're on the hunt for quality car parks, you can't go wrong with Tony's Auto Wreckers. We'll be back with Johnny Slavich after this with Green to Green. Welcome back to Sports Day. Let's get into Green to Green, Baron O'Day, because little things are everything. And every Tuesday, John Slavich joins us to talk about lawn bowls in beautiful Western Australia. Not so beautiful at the moment. Johnny, much being played in the rain?
Yeah, look, there is a few competitions going around at the moment. But look, everyone's getting keeping out of it. And hopefully those clubs can get their tournaments underway. But what we have got going on at the moment is the Australian Open, the 2021 at Broadbeach, Queensland. And we've got quite a few travellers from Western Australia getting over there to the Queensland, and they've had some really great results so far. So we've got a few of the big names still in there, but we've got Kenny Pryde, our Bowls WA CEO, has got through the section of his singles. Peter Flack from Sorrento. Young Jackie East, who's hopefully a WA representative in the next coming years from Aussie Pass, got through, and a couple of old stalwarts in Gary Caffell, John Goddard, who have got down to the knockout stages. The pairs in the men's have also started. Ladies have got through their singles, and I suppose Christina Kristic, WA's number one player, is hoping to get through into the final stages. We've already had about 3 or 4 days of competition, getting down to the money in from about the 20th. Plenty of bowls being played up until then, and if anyone would like to watch some of that bowls, if you jump onto the Bowls Australia website, from the 20th to the 25th, they'll be streaming a lot of these games live. So if anyone's interested in seeing some top quality bowls from all people around Australia, and especially the West Aussies, can get on there and support our players in their quest to hopefully try and win one of the biggest prizes in bowls in Australia.
That's fantastic to hear, Johnny. What about the Masters Games? They're heading to Perth. That's exciting.
It is. It's really great that Perth has managed to get the Australian Masters, and also the Dudley Park Bowling Club, who have managed to secure the bowls side of things with the Australian Masters. So that'll be played in between Saturday the 9th of October and 16th of October 2021 at the Dudley Park Bowling Club. And there'll be competitions for the over 35s and under 60s. So a lot of people fit in that criteria with the men's pairs and women's pairs and also mixed fours. So get in before the 31st of July to receive an early bird discount on entry. And also on the Bowls Western Australian website, there is a great YouTube chat between Clive Adams, who is our regional manager in the northern suburbs, and also Russell Tira, who is at the co-host club of Dudley Park. So you can find out everything about the Australian Masters Games coming up in October.
I'll tell you what is also at the Bowls WA website, bowlswa.com.au, is a great chat with, I saw, Brad Hogg and Graham Jakes, who is the Volunteer of the Year for Bowls WA. 40-plus years of volunteering at the Maylands Bowling Club. Surely a bloke like you, given how much time you've spent in the caper, must have come across him.
Yes, look, it's great, and it's another classic example of meeting people you'll probably never get to in all through the walks in life, and that's just bowls, and we're very blessed to have Hoggy on board, who plays at the Manning Bowling Club, climbing up the ranks, hopefully to be a first division bowler pretty soon. So we're pretty blessed, and it's a great sport to attract a whole heap of people of all ages.
Yeah, get down there and have a bowl, everyone, the bolo, and there's also nice cheap food and drink at a lot of these particular clubs as well, and it's easy to get membership. Thank you very much for your time tonight, mate. Take care.
No worries, boys. All the best. Thank you.
John Slavich, who is part of the very strong W Bowling Club. Nice little club. Go down there quite often myself. As I said, great food, and there's plenty of function space available. If you're looking to host a function, that's a place to get it going right there. For Baron O'Day, don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything. You can call our open line. It is 922-11882 for Sleepmaker, the maker of Australia's mattress. It's the same number for Todd Johnson. He'll be in with the night shift after the news that's coming up next.